place to sleep, clothes on my back and shoes on my feet. I have been blessed. I have been blessed. God's so good to me. Precious are His thoughts of you and me. No way I could count them. There's not enough time. So I'll just thank Him for being so kind. God has been good, so good. I have been blessed.
Arms that will raise and a voice that can talk, hands that can touch and legs that can walk, ears that can listen, eyes that can see. Oh, I've got to praise Him as long as I breathe. I have been blessed.
A mother and father who nurtured and raised, sisters and brothers, memories made, our pastor to lead us, this altar to pray, stripes that can heal, and the blood that still saves. I have been blessed. I have been blessed. God's so good to me. Precious are His thoughts of you and me. No way I could count them. There's not enough time. So I'll just thank Him for being so kind. God has been good, so good. I have been blessed.
We live in a country, the greatest on earth. Our flag stands for freedom and what it is worth. She stands in the harbor, Liberty calls. All have given some, but some gave it all, so we could be blessed.
He's my shoulder to lean on when I am down, the rock where He leads me when I'm overwhelmed, the place where He hides me under just my song. He's the reason I sing. I have been blessed. I have been blessed. God's so good to me. Precious are His thoughts of you and me. No way I could count them. There's not enough time. So I'll just thank Him for being so kind. God has been good, so good. I have been blessed. God has been good, so good. I have been
I have been blessed. Amen. I don't always have the privilege of having my granddaughter sing, so it was a special blessing to me today. Turn with you would, if you see here, the Psalm 33 and Psalm 9, we'd read this morning. find your place, I'd ask you in reverence to the Word of God, that you'd stand with me. We read first in Psalm 33. I want us to grasp this passage before we go back to Psalm 9. Tremendous words. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom He hath chosen for His own inheritance. The Lord looked from heaven. He beholdeth all the sons of men. From the place of His habitation, He looketh upon all the inhabitants of the earth. As we live today, beloved, is there any question that our God knows exactly what transpires in the affairs of men? We read as well in Psalm 9 and verse 17. It says, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. Father, we bow before You today. Lord, we ask You, not in our own name, not in the name of this church, but in the name, the lovely name, the holy name, the saving name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we bow before You today and we plead for Your mercy. Plead, Father, for Your loving grace. You might be pleased to enter in this very auditorium, our hearts, Lord. Might You be pleased to do tremendous things, eternal things. Lord, I don't know that there might be folk within the walls of this room that do not know Jesus is their Savior. So I ask You, Father, do what I cannot do for them. Please, Lord, manifest, exalt Your Son before them. They might see Him in His beauty and in His glory. Might see Him in His grace and His saving power. Receive Him as their own Savior, Lord, today. Ask You, Father. Oh God, I ask You. On behalf of our nation, indeed, we are a blessed people. Might we, Father, here today that would have an open Bible on our laps, understand that You are the one who blesses. You are the one who is able to do on Your people's behalf. And I ask You, Lord, oh, I ask You, that we might not be as those who would forget You. And Lord, today, help this preacher. Oh God, I recognize how desperately I need Your help today. We might declare Your Word without any mixture of human wisdom or imagination. That You, our God, would have Your Word in our hearts today. And Lord, we'll give You glory. We'll give You praise. We'll give You honor for everything and all that You would do in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Of course, you may be seated. So we all understand this Wednesday, we'll celebrate the 4th of July, the official anniversary of our nation's independence from England. And regardless of what the government schools teach or what many in Washington might want to say to us, I confidently believe that God was pleased, as we sang earlier, to birth this nation, and that He brought these United States of America into existence to further His work,
to further the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, well, preacher, that's quite a statement. Well, please stick with me. Please stick with me this morning. The United States of America is 236 years of age, still the greatest nation that's ever existed. I may be a little prejudiced, but I believe that. Yes, we have our problems. Some of them very serious problems. And if there's not a change of direction in Washington come November, we may not be able to recover in another 4 years, current leadership. But in my opinion, this is still, without question, the best place to live on earth. The United States is great, not because of its world dominance, because in reality, the United States of America has never been a world empire. It's never been the desire or the goal of this union to be as other empires were, even going back as far as the Babylonian or the Greek or, of course, the Roman Empire. No, the United States has been great because of what she has been. Because of what she has been. And if we believe the Bible is the Word of God, and considering our great Christian heritage, the two verses, the verses that we read today, should speak volumes to our hearts. It's obvious that our nation has been greatly blessed of God. And it is, well, sad to say, obvious that our nation is quickly forgetting God. Forgetting God. And that, beloved, should greatly alarm us. As a nation, it seems that we're in a bigger hurry to remove God from our lives than a mob of women to a blue light special. On top of that, we have those that are rewriting, purposefully, deliberately rewriting our history books to erase the record of our founding fathers' heart for God and the Word of God. George Washington, I think where most of us might be familiar with who that was. George Washington was known as a man of prayer. And George Washington kept a daily prayer journal. Good practice. Listen to this Monday morning entry that I read concerning or out of his prayer journal. Listen to these words. He said, he prays, direct my thoughts, words, and work. Wash away my sins in the immaculate blood of the Lamb. And purge my heart by the Holy Spirit from the dross of my natural corruption. Wow. That I may with more freedom of mind and liberty of will serve Thee. Could a man get elected saying those kind of things today? That I might with mind and liberty of will serve Thee, the everlasting God, in righteousness and holiness this day and all the days of my life. I'd say that's a man that knew God. You know, I wonder, are children learning that about the character of the first president of the United States in our government schools today? Are they learning that even though Thomas Jefferson and Benjamin Franklin were probably not, maybe, but probably not saved men, they did have a deep respect for God and for God's Word. How often have you heard that Benjamin Franklin greatly admired and enjoyed the preaching of the evangelist George Whitefield. Would often go to hear George Whitefield preach. They were friendly acquaintances. And he was aware that Whitefield prayed for his conversion to Jesus Christ. Sadly, he never gave him the joy of knowing of it. Concerning our nation's independence, John Quincy Adams, the sixth president of the United States, declared this in 1837. Now listen to this. Again, one of our presidents. He said that the birthday of the nation is indissolubly, I can't even say it, big words he used, but indissolubly linked with the birthday of the Savior. It forms a leading event in the progress of the gospel dispensation. The Declaration of Independence laid the cornerstone of human government upon the first precepts of Christianity. Huh? What? How sad that on April 6, 2009, our current president of the United States publicly declared in a speech in Turkey, at a news conference in Turkey, that these United States are not a Christian nation at all. He doesn't read history, or he doesn't believe history. We have a generation, beloved, that has forgotten God. Many of those who settled on this continent's shores came here seeking religious freedom, seeking freedom from religious persecution in England, but in other places as well. They came here for the freedom to worship Jesus Christ as their hearts led them. I'm sure there are some. But I wonder how many history teachers emphasize that truth today. Generally, now again, I say this in a general sense. We are a nation that is in a hurry, to our peril, to forget God. What happens when a nation forgets God? Clearly, the words of the psalmist here in Psalm 9 declare that nation, that people, will come under the judgment of God. What I'd like to do here for a little bit is look at a couple of examples, one from the Bible and another from history, that tells us what will happen when a nation forgets God. The first example, an example from the Scripture, is what happened to Israel? What happened to Israel? Oh, we remember Israel's time of glory under the leadership of King David. And she became a great nation. Israel was able to beat back her enemies from her borders. And God supernaturally, if you read your Bible, God supernaturally gave David and Israel amazing victories over their enemy armies. It became clear, very clear to David as he witnessed those things, that it was God that was giving them their victories. That it was God that was pleased to bless His people, the nation of Israel, as they gave God glory and the honor. God had established Israel as a testimony to the rest of the world. that He was a God that would save, that He was a God that would do for those who honored Him. In Isaiah chapter 49 and verse 6, it says this. Isaiah records this under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He says, "And He, God said, I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, to those nations that surrounded Israel, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth." Israel, beloved, was God's light to the world, that there was a creator and a keeper of the universe who works. Hey, that this one, the creator God, works, acts in the lives of men. And He will bless them greatly for honoring Him. God, in His mercy, blessed David's son. And Solomon became infamous for his leadership, his reign, and for the nation that he reigned over. Oh, we're all mindful of the story when the Queen of Sheba arrived there in Jerusalem and just surmised, took in all the sights that were there. The amazing beauty of the court of Solomon. And she declared in 1 Kings chapter 10 and verse 7. She's almost beyond herself. She says, "Behold, the half was not told me of thy wisdom, and thy prosperity exceeded the fame which I heard." Huh? God did that for Solomon. God did that for Solomon on the basis of David's love for God and David's leadership. But we also must deal with the fact of Israel's time of reproach. Not only her time of glory, but also her time of reproach. When Solomon died, the leaders of Israel soon forgot God. They soon forgot God and how that it was God that had made them a great nation. The people began to worship the idols and the gods of the heathen nations that surrounded them. They believed that worshiping Jehovah, well, that was good, that was right. But it was okay also to worship the gods of the nations around them. And they mixed in, they synthesized the pagan worship with the worship of Jehovah God. Sad. They forgot, beloved, they forgot that their God had ordered them to completely remove all trace of any worship but their worship for Him. Be mindful of Exodus chapter 20 and verse 1. Where it says, "And God spake all these words, saying," and God is going to give them those 10, not suggestions, but those 10 commandments by which they should honor Him and live for Him. In verse 2, God says, I am the Lord thy God," speaking to the children of Israel. "I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage." What's He saying? I'm the one that has blessed thee. I'm the one that delivered thee from your bondage. He goes on to say, "Thou shalt have no other gods." Thou shalt have no other gods before me. "Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me." God had instructed them in get rid of all trace of idolatry. Allow no idolatry in your borders. But unfortunately, They forgot. They forgot their God. And it was not just the people. Even the religious leaders, the civil leaders, also fell into this same great error. Problem was not isolated just to some. Oh my, it's just them liberal-minded folk. No, it wasn't just the liberal-minded folk. But the leaders themselves, the kings, fell into this idolatry. They even promoted the worship of false gods. Question, beloved, is it important to have godly leaders? Absolutely. Absolutely. But I ask the question again. Could a man get elected president of these United States today if he made a statement that, like the one that George Washington made in his prayer? No, I don't believe he could. Not in the current condition, not in the current spiritual condition of our country. What happened to Israel? They forgot God. They forgot God. God removed His blessing. Think about that. Think about the consequences of God removing His blessing. Not only His blessing for their prosperity, but also the blessing of His protection. Huh? That when they began to forget God, what happened? He allowed those enemies that they had one time put to flight to enter back in and put them into bondage. He allowed their enemies to take them back. What happened to Israel? They forgot God. But then as well, we with an example from world history. Very good example. What happened to England? What happened to England along the way? Oh my, her time of glory was great. In years past, it was said, and it was absolutely true, that the sun never sat on the British Empire. Huh? That the British Empire extended around the globe. How could such a tiny nation become so prominent in the world? This small island nation became so powerful, so great on this earth planet. Why? Because God blessed her. And used her prominence in the world for His glory. He used England's prominence to spread the gospel. English merchant ships, I can't even say it. English merchant ships crisscrossed the globe, beloved. And on the decks of those ships were English gospel missionaries. Men such as William Carey, who went to India, David Livingston to Africa, C.T. Studd, who ministered in China, India, the Belgian Congo, and we could go on and on and on, naming tremendous, devoted, consecrated English missionaries. Those folks took the gospel to the remotest regions of the earth. Hey, they took the gospel to the new world of the Americas. Great Britain's impact on the world is unquestionable. I remember standing at the harbor in Mumbai, formerly Bombay, in 1995. And there at a special docking area stands a massive 80-foot high arch called the Gateway to India. That gateway was built to commemorate the first visit of King George V and Queen Mary in 1911. You travel to many parts of India, especially in the city of Mumbai, or we might know better by Bombay. And the influence of the architecture would make you think you were in England. England's glory and culture in her heyday were carried around the world.
But then we also have England's time of reproach. Huh?
Where does England figure into world events today? July 1st, 1997, England gave up nearly the last of her possessions in giving Hong Kong back to communist China. Who cares? Think about this. Who cares what England thinks or does these days? When she supported the U.S. and Iraq, many of our nation's political leaders barely acknowledged it. What happened to England? She forgot God. England forgot God. England once was a nation of churches. Every village and hamlet had a church and a gospel preacher there. Today, England's churches are used for cattle stables, pizza parlors, car garages, and even nightclubs. They're not needed, beloved. They're not needed for churches anymore. Because now, as I checked this morning, only 2% of the English people go to any kind of church at all on a weekly basis. What happened to England? She forgot God. She forgot God. England is not sending missionaries anymore, but the world is sending missionaries to England. Sending missionaries to England to a people that are very cold and resistant to the message of the gospel. She forgot God. But friends, we can't stop there. We can't stop with Israel or England. We must ask, what about the United States? What about the United States? Again, please, let me affirm. America is still the greatest place to live in the world. I'm not much of a world traveler. I've been a few places, 7 or 8 countries, other than our own. So I can't claim to be an authority in these things. And America is not perfect. It has its flaws. But this country, at one time had the reputation around the world as being the defender. Huh? We had the reputation of being the defender of those who were weak and in need. If not for the United States of America, they'd be speaking German today in Europe and in England. Huh? That's just the truth. Someone should tell the Islamic fanatics that our troops defended Muslims in Bosnia in the middle 1990s. And regardless of what my or your opinion of the Iraq war was, there's no question that it was Muslim Arabs that suffered under the murderous tyranny of Saddam Hussein. What would be the plight of the people of Afghanistan today, and especially their women, if the U.S. was not there fighting the Taliban and shedding the precious blood of young men and women from this country? But even more importantly, America has seen amazing times of Holy Spirit revival through its history. The first and great awakenings and many others along the way. And beloved, as fruit of those times of Holy Ghost revival, there have been literally hundreds and even thousands of gospel preaching missionaries go to the four corners of this earth. Our Christian heritage, beloved, our Christian heritage is what made our nation great. We've been blessed. We have been blessed because our God was the Lord. Our time of glory. But we're well in, I believe, into our time of reproach. Again, we must ask the question. And I ask this question because I don't ask the following question. As many today, many of our leaders today, they're worried about what the world thinks of the United States. What, forgive me, the French might think of us. Huh? Beloved, I'm not worried about that. I'm concerned about what God thinks of us today. What is God's estimation of the United States of America? That's what we need to be concerned with. That's what we need to deal with today. How does God feel about the millions of babies that have been murdered in the name of a woman's choice? Does God care that we have normalized sodomy as just a sexual preference? What is God's opinion of removing him from the education of our children? How does God look at the churches of America today? What is God's opinion? Now listen. What is God's opinion of preachers who refuse to preach righteousness of God and against sin? It's not a popular message to stand here and deal with our need of a Savior today. But beloved, I've been called, I've been anointed, I've been ordained to preach the gospel, the good news of what Jesus did for me at a cross on a hill called Mount Calvary. And He went there because I was a sinner. And I'm going to keep preaching it. What's happening to America? What's happening to America? She's forgetting. She's forgetting, and might I say, quickly forgetting God. The reason for America's former greatness was to be found in her churches. Preachers, churches that were willing to stand for truth, stand for our God and His Word. I believe that you can find the reason for America's decay in her churches as well. We do not hear the call from pulpits today to fear God and to serve Him. No, our culture is too sophisticated for that. It's the truth. We're too sophisticated for such things. Pastor Turner, you're just one of those Bible-thumping fanatic Baptists. Guilty? I'm guilty. I believe what the Bible says. This is my message. And though we might deal with a bit of history today to bring the light to us, our situation, beloved, here's the answer.
Amen.
Staying true to our God. Oh my. We're a people, beloved, that are consumed with our leisure. We're consumed with our entertainment. And that has bled over. Beloved, it's flooding over into our churches. God has allowed, and here's the sad point. God has allowed a veil of blindness to come over the eyes of our nation so that we cannot even see the real reason for our decay. What is the reason? We have forgotten God. We have forgotten God. But beloved, hallelujah, the Bible still contains the answer. If only the nation of Israel would have taken heed to the Word of God. In Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 18, listen to these words. Listen to these words as God was warning His people to not forget but not to get away from the truth and the principles of the Word of God. He says, "But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is He that giveth thee power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant, which He sware unto thy fathers as it is this day." What's He saying? What's Moses writing to them? Remember! Remember who it was that prospered you. Remember who it was that blessed you. Remember who it was that delivered you out of that bondage in Egypt. Remember who it was that delivered you through the wilderness. Remember who it was that even now has established His covenant with you. Oh, we're mindful of those tremendous words from 2 Chronicles and 7:14. We cherish those words, and preachers love to thump the pulpit as we preach them. That indeed, as those words say, if my people which are called by my name shall what? Humble. Bring themselves low. Shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face. He's saying, remember me. Remember me. Turn from their wicked ways. Then God promises, then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sins and what? Heal their land. That was a promise made to Israel. That was a promise made to them as a nation directly. And I'm not claiming that promise for the United States of America. Who I am claiming that promise for are His people. Those who are called by His name. I love the name of Jesus. And I love being called a Christian, beloved. And as we read earlier from Psalm 33, He says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom He hath chosen for His own inheritance." God, beloved, has covenanted Himself. What do we mean? God has made a promise with His people that He will bless them. Did He love Israel? Absolutely. He loved them. He loved that nation. He loved those people. But indeed, as those folk that He loved forgot God, He brought them into chastening. He allowed their enemies to overrun them. And He has left them, beloved. He has left them in that condition unto this day. Is God done with Israel? No. No. No, I don't believe that for a minute, and that's a whole other message. But you see, for you and I, God has made a covenant with His people. With those that are called by His name. Those that love Him. Those that are in that relationship of grace by faith with Him. And beloved, whether our nation sees a time of great revival again or not, you and I can see revival. Our church can see revival. And our church, hey beloved, Metropolitan Baptist Church can have an impact on Lake Worth and Fort Worth and North Texas as we would live for Him. And as we would remember Him today. With all this said, I'm not without hope. I'm not without hope. Hey, as long as this book remains true, I've got hope. As long as I can believe the promises of God, I've got hope. As far as I know, God hasn't forsaken one of His promises yet. He's not welched on one of His promises yet. I'm not without hope. We've got a God that is as able today as He ever was. Oh, we've got a God that is as powerful and mighty and able to save today as He was the day that Jesus died. I'm not without hope when there's folks still being saved. Not without hope when I see even amongst our own young people, young men and women that love God. I'm not without hope. I'm not without hope when I see some of those young folk get in this altar. Pray and seek in God's face. I'm not without hope. Regardless of what the rest of us do. I'm not without hope when there's young ones that still believe that there's a God that's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Hey, with I hate to use the word, that sweet, blessed naivety. To believe that God will do what He says He'll do. I'm just praying that as they pray, God might be pleased to do for all of us on their behalf. Beloved, indeed, our nation's hope lies in her churches. Her pulpits, but especially her prayer rooms. America's hope rests in God's gracious mercy upon lost souls. Our great God, now listen, our great God is a God who is pleased to enter in and to do what we consider impossible. I was talking yesterday, even at the picnic, with some folks about revival. And it's so easy for us to become disheartened and to be discouraged as we look at the condition of our nation. But I challenge you, beloved, to read revival history. Read the history concerning the revivals in our own country. I challenge you to investigate what the spiritual condition in our nation was prior to those times of great revival. It was pretty bad. Repeatedly, we were in a bad spiritual condition. So when is it too late? When is it too late for God to enter in and once again, intervene in the life and the ongoing spiritual condition of this nation? Hey, forgive me. Forget this nation. In this church. In our families. They enter in. And work in the hearts and lives of family members that you and I might have that are yet outside the camp. To enter in and restore back those that have gone by the wayside. Huh? When's it too late for our God? Hey, as we might be praying today to go where they're at. Huh? We got a God that works on both ends of things. You got a God that's able that we might be brokenhearted and humble ourselves and seek His face, that He indeed might be willing to go on our behalf and deal with the hearts and the lives of those folks that we seek Him on behalf of. Huh? When's it too late? When should we give up? When should we quit? Beloved, what must we do? What must we do? Number one, we must not forget God. Regardless of what the neighbor might be doing. No, forgive me. Regardless of what mom and dad might be doing. Regardless of what the folks next door or down the street. Regardless of what every other church in town might be doing. We need to stand for God, not forget Him. And rather, remember the Lord thy God. For it is He that giveth thee power. Huh? We need that power. Beloved, we need power just to live for Him in this day. We need power just to be able to turn our back on the bombardment of evil that's all around us. Hey, we need the power of God if we're going to be that light upon a hill that He's called us to be. That He might be. He might be the one that would get all the glory, all the praise, and all the honor. Beloved, let's stand together. Begins with Jesus. It all begins with Jesus. We need Him. Dear one, if you're here today and if there's any question at all about where you will spend eternity, please, please, please don't leave this place without receiving Jesus Christ as your Savior. He died that He might give you life and forgiveness of sins. Please, please, it's in His name, the lovely name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you might be saved. Father, we bow before You. And Lord, it's been a mixed tone, to say the least, in this message today. Lord, we love You. We love our Savior, the Lord Jesus. And Father, we that are Christians understand that we've been a blessed people. And our nation has been a blessed nation. And Lord, You've been pleased to use this nation in amazing ways. Lord, please. Please, Lord. Would You please revive Thy work in the midst of the years, that Thy people might rejoice in Thee. Lord, I'm grateful. I'm thankful that we are never, ever without hope because of Jesus. Yes, our hearts can be grieved. Our hearts can be discouraged over the spiritual condition of our land. But Lord, we also rejoice. We're grateful. We're thankful that in the face of all of that, we look to You. Our eyes, Father, are on the eastern sky, far past Washington, far past what men can do. Our eyes are upon You, King Jesus. And we look into You to do for us, to do for our families, do for our church, Lord. Lord, I don't know. Only You know the condition of men's hearts and lives today. Lord, I simply ask You, oh God, there be one, maybe many, that are here today and aren't saved. Please, please, Lord, might this be the day they'd receive the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Lord of heart. Lord, we love You. Thank You again for Your love for us. In Jesus' name, and for Jesus' glory we pray. Amen. Brother John.
Page 491.
As we sing, folks, please just obey the Lord. Do what the Lord would say to you to do. These altars are open.
The Lord's our rock, in Him we hide, a shelter in the time of storm. Secure whatever ill betide, a shelter in the time of storm. Oh, Jesus is the rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land. Oh, Jesus is the rock in a weary land, a shelter in the time of storm. A shade by day, defense by night, a shelter in the time of storm. No fears alarmed, no foes affright, a shelter in the time of storm. Oh, Jesus is the rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a shelter in the time of storm. The raging storms may round us beat, a shelter in the time of storm. We'll never leave our safe retreat, a shelter in the time of storm. Oh, Jesus is the rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land. Oh, Jesus is the rock in a weary land, a shelter in the time of storm. O rock divine, O refuge dear, a shelter in the time of storm. Be Thou our helper ever near, a shelter in the time of storm. Oh, Jesus is the rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land. Oh, Jesus is the rock in a weary land, a shelter in the time of storm. The Lord's our rock, in Him we hide, a shelter in the time of storm. Secure whatever ill betide, a shelter in the time of storm. Oh, Jesus is the rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land. Oh, Jesus is the rock in a weary land, a shelter in the time of storm.
And, well, you can be seated for a second. Bethany, you want? Of course, Bethany's grown up here at Metropolitan Baptist Church, and like a lot of children along the way, she had made a profession of faith and was baptized even. And she shared with the folks this past the week at camp, I guess it was, that she had just some months ago, the Lord had dealt with her concerning her salvation. And she received the Lord Jesus Christ as her Savior. And as we can understand, she was a little bit, well, I guess we might say she was concerned that folks might say, what's going on with you? You know, you've been saved. Weren't you always saved, or weren't you saved before? Who cares? We just rejoice that God was pleased to deal with her heart. And she dealt with that thing. And that she's here today to tell all of you that she's saved.
Amen.
And it's her desire, Bethany, it's your desire on your profession of faith to follow the Lord in believers' baptism and unite with Metropolitan Baptist Church.
Yes,
amen.
All in favor of receiving this profession of faith and her desire to be a member of Metropolitan Baptist Church, say amen.
Amen.
Pose the same sign, and so ordered. Amen. And we're thrilled for Bethany. And as we say amen this morning, you make sure you come by and welcome her. I know that sounds kind of strange, but welcome her into the fellowship of Metropolitan Baptist Church. And she will be getting baptized this evening. As the young people, Brother Curtis, I'm sure, will say something more. But the young people will be sharing their week from camp in the evening service. You pray for Colton. He's going to be preaching this evening, representing the young people. And so it's good. It's good. Amen. All right. Well, you can be seated there, Bethany, and I guess it's your turn.
Jim, if y'all come forward, we'll see this morning's offering. Brother Chuck, would you mind offering a prayer for us, please?
All right, let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you for this good morning that we've had to listen to your word. And Father, we especially thank you for Bethany and her salvation and you just working in her heart. I pray that everyone here would be ready for you and that we have our hearts right in you, Father. I ask that you'd take this offering and use it for your glory. In Jesus' name I ask, amen.
Just a few short announcements. Like Richard said, tonight, during the evening service, we'll be giving our testimonies what took place at camp. You'll see a bunch of maroon shirts up here. I've asked all the kids to wear their camp t-shirts. So moms, if they're in the dirty clothes, wash them for us, please. The midweek service will be on Thursday instead of Wednesday because 4th of July falls on Wednesday this year. And so if you go out and pop firecrackers, count your fingers before and after. And if you show up here for Wednesday, let us know Thursday how the service went. We still need a little bit of help with VBS. If you signed up, please get with Brother Colton, see what he'd have you to do, where you can help, and we're going to be finishing up our decorations this week and probably going through a dry run or two. We'll probably be passing out some flyers, through the neighborhoods to try to get some kiddos in here and pray this week that next week kids will get saved. And beyond that, choir practice tonight. Okay. And ladies' visitation on Wednesday. We have no ladies' visitation on Wednesday since the 4th of July? Probably not. Okay. But we will have it Saturday. So, good enough.
See, the course this month is Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord.
I just drew a blank.
Praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son. And give Him the glory, great things He hath done.
I think I'm getting old. My mind just blanked out completely there. Please come forward and greet Bethany. Thank you.